flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
It's Wadi time!
Thanks for joining us from a really cool room at your house in Florida. I love the
You know what? Jan, she's trying to get. I got stuff on the floor here. Here, come here. I'm gonna see. Let's see what we got here.
Let's go.
Behind the scenes with Lonnie.
Let's go on a trip.
Following is an MTV Cribs special presentation.
This is at the White House after the national championship at Miami. Awesome. Hey, here we go. You'll like this one. This is after the last road playoff game that the Bears won.
I want to show y'all the whole little front. You know, we got the jacuzzi.
What else do I got around here? Let me see. I got some of Pat Riley and Don Shula. I got one right here. This Lawrence will like this one. Where's Spiggs? Spiggs, okay, here we go.
Come on in. This is the theater. Reservoir Dogs, Scarface.
That's when I was riding a Harley. How about that, Lawrence? And the only problem was that we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That's Jason Taylor, Zach Thomas. The problem was all the players started buying Harley Davidsons.
Well, we put an end to that because it was getting a little bit crazy down there in Miami.
As it tends to do.
We got a lot of stuff here. A few footballs, a few helmets, a few Super Bowl trophies. We're good.
Next time y'all need to find me, you know, just rub these two wires for the doorbell. I know it don't work. You ain't got to knock. It works.
Jan just yelled, stop the tour.
This is our casa.
This is where the magic happens.
What a cute bench.
Thanks. That's my bed. Jan has some space issues, so I curl up on that puppy.
All right. Love you guys. See ya. Bye.
An MTV Cribs with Wadi would be incredible.
What's up, MTV? Come on in, you broke mother. See how I'm living. Look at my chandelier. It's $2 million. It's made out of expensive chicken dinners I've eaten over the years from baller-ass restaurants.
Pour me something tall and strong. Make it a hurricane before I go insane. It's only 12:30, but I don't care.
He don't care.
I don't care.
Sing it, Dave.
It's 5:00 somewhere.
That's right, and that means it's time for us to talk with Dave Wannstedt. He did give us a beautiful tour of what was going on at his house last week. It was awesome. And now he joins us here on The Score. Hey, Coach.
What's happening? How we doing? Everybody good?
Coach, we're good. I'm so sorry to have missed the tour. It sounded wonderful, and I'm glad you're enjoying yourself down there in Naples. It's 5:00 there right now, as a matter of fact.
Oh, it is definitely 5:00 here. Absolutely. Spiggs, I'm sorry you didn't see Jimmy down there on his jog. You know, I thought maybe you'd run into him.
For those who don't know, I took a trip to the Florida Keys last week with my brother and our wives. And Coach had told me that, I think it was mile marker. You told me the mile marker that Jimmy Johnson.
88.
Yeah, 88. Yep. I didn't want to say it out loud, but okay. Mile marker 88. Every day, 7 a.m. I thought about going to stalk Jimmy Johnson, but then I'd be the guy going, hi, hi, I know Wani. Hello. So no, I didn't do that part, Coach.
Okay.
But but we went to the restaurants.
How was that? Get a nice fish sandwich, sit outside on the water?
The weather...
Don't tell me you sat inside.
The weather wasn't nice enough to sit outside.
It's like 59 degrees, I think.
It was 59, Coach.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a disappointment. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That was kind of a bummer. And but you know, place had a very nice water restaurant vibe. The bar was cool.
What?
I didn't like the food that much, Coach. We didn't like the food that much. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be.
You're not a Keys guy. I mean, you know, you should be up north somewhere, probably getting Philly cheesesteaks or I don't know, you know, something Philly or Boston, or you're a New York guy, New Jersey.
I was hoping that I'm a Chicago guy, Coach. How dare you? I was hoping that that Jimmy would be there. But they said the wife comes by. Wife comes by sometimes, but I didn't see Jimmy.
Yeah, she comes by, picks him up food. That's what she comes by. Yeah, absolutely.
But it was very cool to be there. I sent you the picture of me outside the space. We made sure to stop there.
Well, I'll be there in 2 weeks. In fact, right before I was on this, I was just texting with him because we were putting the rooming list together and everything. 2 weeks, we're having our little inner circle get together. And we just wanted to make sure that we didn't leave anybody off the list. So it's in motion.
What's the most fun part of that when you guys get together for you?
Oh, telling the same lies and the same stories over. And we take it back to, I mean, keep in mind, a lot of the guys we were together at Oklahoma State. So we can go back to Miami, Oklahoma State, obviously Dallas. I mean, we got a lot of stories to talk about. So if you weren't part of it then, you know, you could get lost, you know, left out of half the conversation, but it's a lot of fun. It's a great time, and so we're doing a little bit earlier this year. But Troy wanted to do a little bit earlier this year, so we kind of worked around his schedule.
Speaking of Dallas, it's been real weird down there over the last couple of weeks. What do you think about what the decisions that have been made?
You know what? I look at all the jobs, and you know, the Bears obviously. Flew's got himself into a bind because of the offensive coordinator. And I don't know if we ever really, at least from my perspective, who were we on offense? I don't know what we were. And then at the end of the game decision. So that was what it was. Obviously the guy at Vegas comes out and says, when the game's kicked off, he doesn't have anything to do with coaching or something like that with the players. He backed himself into a corner. And then the guy at New England, how that thing all happened. But when I look at some of these other jobs, the Jets, Dallas, and even down in Jacksonville, I don't know. You know, I'm an Aaron Glenn fan, but did Robert Saleh deserve to be fired? You know, think about it. You know, and if you're an owner sitting back and the same thing in Jacksonville, you know, did you really improve yourself? Maybe this Liam Cohen's got all the answers. I don't know. But you got rid of a coach that has won a Super Bowl before. So some of these things you back yourself into a corner. The owner doesn't have a chance, you know, have a choice. But I thought there were some firings as you look back on them, because there's not guys to hire. You know, I mean, they're scrambling. They're scrambling. And did you make yourself better? Did you make yourself better? That's the question I would ask all these teams.
Hey, Coach, you just kind of hinted at it, and you said it with Mullion Hall the other day, that you didn't think – when you look back, that you're not sure Matt ever had an offensive philosophy, Matt Eberflus, and that's a heavy thing, because you can be a defensive coach, but you're the football coach, man. You can't be a guy that just like Ben Johnson needs to have a defensive philosophy. You're at the head coach; you got to have a philosophy. What did you have one? I mean, you ran the ball, but did you think about it that way? And why didn't Matt think about it that way? Looking back, I wonder.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we We were going to be balanced. I mean, if you, anybody that played when I was a head coach, whether it was at the Bears or Dolphins or Pitt, they said, hey, these guys are going to pound the football at you. We had great, you know, really good running schemes. And then we had play action passes that mirrored it. And then we would mix in a little bit of the fringes, the reverses and trick plays and screens and all that. But that's who we were. And there was no question about that. And, you know, that was our identity. And I told the guys that from day one. And, you know, and we, as we got better players, we backed it up. And that was the difference in us winning and losing.
What do you think of Dennis Allen?
Oh, I like Dennis. You know, I think I don't know him really personally much. I mean, he's done a good job everywhere he's coached, you know, and he's got head coaching experience. And I think it'll be a plus for Ben that not necessarily X and O's on the field, but stuff away from the field that the head coach has to deal with. Okay, this player's late for a meeting. What happens if a guy misses the plane? What happened? You know, all these, somebody gets in trouble in the office. I mean, all the stuff that happens away from the X and O part of it, it's nice to have somebody that's been through that, that can at least throw some thoughts out there to you and throw some examples out there to you of how they did it, whether, and it was it good, was it bad, you know, and then you got to decide. But I think that's good. I like that hire for both reasons. One, a good defensive coach. And then two, somebody that's been a head coach when you got a first-time head coach in Ben that can use as a sounding board.
Coach, you talked about alignment. And I wonder if you could let us in on that a little bit more in terms of the coach being the guy who drives the alignment with the GM. We're so used to thinking that the GM is the boss who, like, I'm just going to pick everything and then here you go, coach, good luck. But in football, the coach has to be the one to say, this is the kind of players that I need. And the GM, yeah. The GM's got to do his bidding at least a little bit, right? Like what should that dynamic look like? How's that supposed to work?
Well, Ron Wolf told me that when he was at GM, obviously, at Green Bay during those Super Bowl years with Brett Favre and Mike Holmgren, he told me one time we were talking at the Combine or someplace, you know, Senior Bowl, and he said, Dave, I would never draft a player that Mike wasn't excited about, as much as I might have believed in this guy. And he said, because if your head coach is not excited about him, the assistants are going to read into it, and this guy's not going to be coached the way he should be coached and have extra time the way you need to spend extra time, and he's not going to develop, and guess what? We all lose. So, you know, and Rick Spielman was probably the guy that I spent the most time with at between Chicago some and then the whole time at Miami. And Rick and George Payton, they worked together. You know, Rick was in charge. George was like his right-hand man. And those guys would bring stuff to me, you know, but I was the one to say, hey, I want receivers that have size, or I don't want a 350-pound offensive lineman. You know, Tony Wise wants to be able to move these guys, and he wants the Olin Kreutzes, athlete-type guys. And then Rick would come back and say, hey, here's your two best guys. And we would look at them, and very, very seldom was there ever – a disagreement when we got to that point. But I think the head coach needs to talk about what type of player he wants at each position and how many he needs on the team at each position, you know, as far as how many receivers. You know, we need to have five receivers that are ready to play, or maybe it's three. Every situation is different. So that, to me, is the stuff that needs to be ironed out, everybody on the same page between the general manager and the head coach.
So we're so used to a GM being the boss and he gets a coach and then maybe they fire the coach fast and then he gets another coach and boy, oh, look at that. It didn't work. He got two coaches. Maybe the way that the league functions is out of whack in that sense. Like the coach needs to be given a longer leash, you know, in order for the alignment to really make sense. Maybe the league is all screwed up in that way.
Well, I think the, you know, the general managers have their preference from their past experiences. Okay. But I think that the coaches do the same thing. So I give Ryan Poles credit, because I don't know what his philosophy was between him and Flus or how that worked. I really don't. But I would give Ryan Poles credit because he knows that he has to win. And if Ben Johnson doesn't win, that he's going to be sitting right there beside him when things fall apart. And so, you know, whether he goes out and drafts big linemen or 350 pounds or he drafts the 300-pound athletic one, does it really matter as long as the guy's the best fit for the team? In my opinion, no. You put your egos aside, and what do we got to have? And that's the way I think it works best.
Okay, so that's the way that it works with new players. You've been through this a lot as a college and as a pro coach. How does this work when you're the coach coming in and evaluating the people that are already on the roster?
Yeah, and that's give and take too. I mean, that's there's going to be some guys that you like that fit into the mold that you're looking for, and some guys that don't. And that's a tough one, because now, you know, we held on to Bayless Jones and held on to Bayless Jones, and we got rid of our fullback. And whether the coaches wanted a fullback or not, you hear conflicting things. You know, I don't know, but all that I do know is, you know, that when general managers draft players, if it's separated, now everybody's kind of got their hair up on the back of their necks from the standpoint of, this is my guys. I drafted these guys. They better be successful or it's on me. Or if you do it together and everybody's on the same page and it doesn't work out, it's you guys. This is who you wanted. This is who you drafted. Mm-hmm. You know, and if it does, these guys just got to understand it. If you win, there's enough glory to go around for everybody. And the quicker that head coaches and the quicker that general managers can understand that, and assistant coaches can understand that, and trainers, I mean, you know, it affects everybody. Everybody wants to be associated with the winner, and no one gives a darn how it happened. I mean, we won that first Super Bowl. Our scouts that were like second in command, all of a sudden everybody wanted to hire them as an example, because how did you guys do it at Dallas with those, so hire them and see if you can find out. So everybody, that's the toughest thing for people to digest, that if I do a good job and if we win, the head coach is going to be the head coach, but I'm going to get my share. It's going to benefit me and my family.
Oh, see, that's beautiful. That's like, there's something spiritual about that. Like, if everybody just gives in and does what they need to do to get a winner, then everybody gets their credit. You talk about Ron Wolf. He never drafted a guy that he didn't think Holmgren would like. Ron Wolf gets credit for years. We all talk about Ron Wolf, and he was decades, and he was just serving the greater good, doing it like that. It's beautiful stuff from Dave Wanstead. So, like, looking at this roster, have you allowed yourself to think what players or what position groups Ben Johnson might go in there and say, you know what? I know you like this guy, Ryan, but I'm going to need a different kind of player here. At a certain spot. Any spots come to mind on this Bears roster when you think about that?
Well, you know, the conversation is going to be obviously the offensive line, but they, you know, at Detroit, they were a zone team, play action pass team. They were not overly, they weren't the Philadelphia Eagles where you saw the center pulling out there much and doing a lot of movement stuff that way with their offensive line. But the one thing is, you know, they had three number one picks in that offensive line. So he's going to look at our guys and he's going to say, obviously, we got to improve them. And Ryan's going to agree with them. And now the conversation needs to come, you know, what type of guys do we want? And I'm sure that Ben's saying, hey, Ryan, you know, we got three picks in the top 50. It wouldn't bother, you know, to have two of those guys be offensive linemen, I would not lose any sleep over that. I mean, we had three of them in Detroit. Huh. I hope he's thinking of it that way, you know. And then the pass rusher, but we can talk about the pass rusher, you know, till we're blue in the face. I mean, you know, those guys are tough to find. And did we need one when Flus was here? Sure, but you know, Flus was he's a very good defensive coach. I know the listeners out there, you know, you can say what you want. I really don't care, But you got to be real. This guy, when he coaches defense and wasn't involved in all the other headaches, this guy knows defense. The guys played hard for him. They made a lot of plays. And we were a top 10 defense, and we would have been this year. And in my opinion, I think we would have been a top 10 defense until the wheels came off on offense. And we lost a couple games, and now it's a mess. Now it is a mess, and that affects the whole team.
So we're a little over a week from the Super Bowl taking place, and I know that we'll get really into it next week. But I'm curious on what you think of what you've seen from Kansas City, because it doesn't make sense that they've won 17 games, one score, or in this season. It's amazing to me. Why does this keep happening? Why are they so good?
Well, you know, Pat, we got to say Patrick Mahomes, but you know what happened in that Buffalo game? Kansas City, let me make sure I'm right on this. Kansas City, I believe, had one play over 30 yards. Hold on, because I was looking at this today. Hold on. They had
– We got time, Coach.
They had one play over – one pass play over 30 yards. This is the Chiefs now. Three runs over 20. Three runs. Three passes over 20. Guess what Buffalo had? Zero runs over 20 and zero passes. So you can say what happened in that game. All of a sudden, they open it up, and Kansas City made more big plays because the stats, guys, I know you did. I mean, you know who won the turnover battle? There's been one game in all the playoffs, okay, for our listeners, that the team that lost the playoff battle lost the game. You know what game it was? The Chiefs-Buffalo. Kansas City was minus one. Every other playoff game, the team that was on the minus side of the playoffs lost.
The turnovers.
And turnovers. So you say to yourself, well, how did that happen? Well, I'll tell you how it happened. They just didn't make enough big plays because everything else was damn even. It really was. And they just didn't get enough big chunk plays, you know. And so, you know, we can chew it up any way we want, but that's where we're at, you know. And so what makes them special? I think they, you know, Patrick Mahomes said it best. He said, hey, we don't have, I don't know if he used a philosophy or not, but he says, we just run plays, you know, and so that's what it looked like. They needed a big play, so they call it, and the guys make the plays. The one play, I don't know, the one disappointing thing in that game, how do you let Worthy, the wide receiver, the fastest guy ever to run a time at the combine, how the hell do you let him get behind you? And he got deep, right? He got deep in the game. And, you know, that was the disappointing thing to me. But, yeah, I really thought Buffalo would win. I thought that Buffalo would find a way to get it done. But give credit where credit dues. Kansas City found a way, you know.
It's a great coach and a great quarterback. Hall of Famers, both still at the peak of their powers. I got to go back, Coach. I think if I had a fish sandwich on the water down at Jimmy's, that I'd feel the vibes the way that you're saying, you know? I think I'm going to blame 59 degrees for my experience.
How did
you
end up back here?
Because Coach is trying to show me a good time. We texted a bunch. He was like trying to get...
What did I tell you? What? I said, I go three places when I go down to Keys. And that's that. You know where I'm going to go this week? When I get down there next week?
Where?
I'm going to go to the Jimmy's restaurant. I'm going to go to Jimmy's boat, and I'm going to go to Jimmy's house. We don't go anywhere else.
That's my problem.
Yeah, that's.
I needed.
You were going to the flea markets or wherever you were going, and looking for seashells and
I went to the sandal factory. Yeah, you're right.
Hey, Lawrence, I guarantee you, if you check this suitcase, I guarantee you, he had a necklace of seashells and and some of those big ones that you can hold your ear and hear the ocean. You know, Spiggs had it all.
Yeah. Hawaiian shirts. Yeah, he had it all.
I went to the Sea Turtle Hospital. You're right. I need to hang with Jimmy. That's how you do the keys. I had no shot of having as good a time as you. I had no chance.
The only problem I got is I told him today. I said you better have the heater on your pole because. You know, we know our routine. We've been doing this for X amount of years, and it's Friday night at the restaurant, okay? And then upstairs, he gets condos, and we stay up and tell stories. And then Saturday morning, we're on the boat. We're on the boat all day, and then we're back, and then we're in the pool, okay? So, but I did say, hey, you better put that heater on the pool because, you know, it's been nippy down there. And I know from my own – thing here, my pool here so we'll see, but it'll be a good time, and it'll be a lot of laughs, a lot of old stories.
The boat is loaded. I've got the ice and the cold ones on it right now, and as soon as I get off this phone, I'm starting the engines and I'm going offshore.
It sounds awesome, Coach. You deserve it with your boys. You have a good time, all right?
Well, you guys shut me off. Is this it?
Yeah, we're done.
Sorry to bother you.
Well, what are you going to what's on the topic? We're almost in spring training, right? We're still talking. We're getting into Cubs and Sox, right?
Yes, we've been doing a little bit of that. It's funny, though. The next segment, we were going to talk about like putting a chip in the ball to figure out where it is on the football field so you don't have some of the problems that you had in the title game last week.
Yeah, I'm ready to go on that one. Trust me. Forget about it.
We figured as much. Bye, Coach.
Coach, you're the best.
All right, see you guys.
Later.
If you want to live like Dave Wannstedt does, you need to check out the Slam Dunk in Vegas National Contest. It's easy to win. Just download the Odyssey app, log in, and listen to the score each day for a minimum of 1 hour for your daily entry for a chance to win this unforgettable trip for four during the first weekend of the tournament in March. Stay at Circa Resort and Casino, where you can visit the biggest March hoops party at Stadium Swim. Airfare and $5,000 for each guest are also included for the ultimate viewing experience in Vegas.
Coolio.
We should probably go.
Yeah.
I think we should go to a circuit.
To Vegas? Yeah, I think so too.
I think that would be a really good idea.
We're going to play categories a little bit later on in the hour, but you got something here for us.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about the thing that interests most people coming into the week was referees not getting it right. And we should be farther along with NFL technology. Someone explain to us why that's not the case. We'll hear from them next on The Score.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with the listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Eagle and Holmes.
I might swerve in that corner.
Whoa.
Okay.
See, we're in full service, 670 The Score station.
Afternoons on The Score.
The line judge on the far side, initially his spot was coming in about a foot inside the 40. Then the near side linesman came in and said he was short of it. They had two different marks. Let's see what they come with.
After review, the ruling in the field stands as called.
Wow. Here's the line. Does the ball cross that definitively? Wow.
Go.
How did you see it, Gene?
I felt like he gained it by about a third of the football, Jim. That was just my take on the play. Tough play.
I agree.
And that is as important a call as any of these teams have had all season.
There was all sorts of stuff that was going on inside of the AFC title game that had people going, well, there's the conspiracy that allows the Chiefs to do whatever it is they want to do. I'm glad that Shane had the foresight to put Mike Pereira on the show on Monday, because I think that he answered a question that had been burrowed into the mind of every football fan of like, look, Questech in tennis has been around for, what, 15, 20 years?
Yeah, the Hawkeye system that they use for the lines. A stable cameras on lines that don't move. The football lines move every time they reset the first down marker. But still, it feels like they should be able to do something.
You would think that a business that's turning over $22 billion of profit every year would be at the forefront of the technological advances in sports.
Uh-huh.
I think Mike Pereira gave a really good explanation. If you were wondering, like, can't they just chip the ball?
Put a microchip right in the ball and then just be able to measure it from each side.
He explained it pretty well on why they don't do that.
I think if you look at it, and you said it from my standpoint, hey, you know, you can see where the ball is if you put a chip. Now, we put chips in kicking balls in like the spring leagues. And boy, the kickers hated it because it affected the weight of the ball. They didn't kick as well with the ball. Maybe that was psychological. I'm not sure. But will it affect the ball even from a passing situation? But the most important thing is, you know, even if you can put a chip in the ball, do you got to put a chip in the elbows and the knees of the players? I mean, when you have these quarterback sneaks, I mean, it's impossible to see, you know, from players on field level, it's impossible to see where the ball precisely is. And you know, they're talking about that play yesterday. I personally, of course, I thought it was short, and I certainly didn't think it was enough to overturn, but I was in a bar also. Our game was over. So I can't be that conclusive from a bar stool. But, you know, I just wonder how that is going to work out, because then you're never going to be sure where the knee was down or where the elbow was down at that foremost point of where the ball is. Pretty difficult, you know, in my book.
If not a microchip, is there anything to do?
I mean, I don't think there is short of a microchip. I mean, look, you can't correct everything. And are they on two separate lines? Yeah, they were on two separate lines because they were really judging the body. I mean, they weren't really judging the ball. I mean, and that. You know, you don't like to see it, but it happens frequently. I thought the guy at the bottom had a better look than the one that came in a little bit further downfield. But we're going to see replay get more and more involved as we've had these missed face masks and different things and sliding quarterbacks, as we heard about. You know, is that now going to be reviewable? You can judge the contact, whether it was, you know, forcible or not. I get a little worried when we're going to, you know, try to make everything subject to replay. And I it's kind of one of those things to me, everybody will say, good. Oh, yeah, that's great. We can use replay. Oh, it's great. And then when we have a game that lasts 4 hours, they're going to be like, replay's awful. Replay's destroyed the pace of the game. So I think at some point we just have to recognize that a game is never going to be officiated perfectly. I've been involved in a lot and many, many games over the years, both on the field and in the office grading them. I've never seen a perfect game. I don't think I'll ever see a perfectly officiated game. And you hardly ever see a perfectly played football game either by players or by coaches. It's just one of the elements of the game that the officials are held to a higher standard. And I get it, but it's kind of
unachievable when you think about trying to make it perfect.
I want to argue with Mike, but I can't. I don't have the technological knowledge to argue with him. And he's right. There's a lot of bodies. The line of scrimmage is moving. It's hard to figure all of this stuff out.
Well, it's something that he says early about the microchip in the knee, the microchip in the elbow. And you're like, well, what does that have to do? No, because it's where what he's saying, and he's right, is it's where the ball is when the body goes down. It's a judgment. It's not so if a guy's holding the ball forward or, it's because there's still so you need to figure out exactly where the knee goes down and the elbow goes down and then where the ball is at that time. So it's not a single microchip effect is what he's saying. And that underpins the whole thing.
It was jarring, though, that in that moment, none of us could see the ball. Like when you're looking at that replay and you're like, wait, where was he?
But in that moment, I just wanted the forward progress. Like he wasn't down yet. It's as far forward as he got the ball, and then he was pushed back and down. But the forward progress, that was a situation where just knowing how far the ball got would actually have been enough.
That's true. That's true. You're right. Like that's one of those situations where it would have worked out.
Where it didn't matter. So that's what I would argue back to him in that situation. It's just like that. But then I'm sure there would be a factor kind of like the electronic strike zone in baseball where it's got to be you got to make sure the
adjust
technology.
It.
Yeah, you got to make sure the technology is where it's supposed to be before you enact it. But I think if you could find a way to do a chip. But hell, man, if the kickers don't like the chip, I can't imagine the quarterback's liking it if it really affects it in the way that he's talking about.
I wonder if that's like the reverse placebo effect, you know?
There's a chip in here. You know?
I could tell the weight of the ball was off when I kicked it. Maybe you should be worrying about other stuff, Justin Tucker.
You see, Dean Blandino was on Mad Dog Sports Radio and said he was talking about the same issue, and he... another former head of officiating said, my brother is convinced that the league is rigged. He's convinced that I signed an NDA. When I left the league office, I cannot tell anybody that the league is rigged. We grew up in the same household,
That's
said
crazy.
Dean Blandino.
It sounds like you got to repair your relationship with your brother.
Well, he lives with a conspiracy theorist, or maybe not lives with him now, but he grew up with him. And his brother thinks that his own brother signed an NDA.
Him.
It's the problem with the deep state.
It really, really is. But we don't care about that. You want to know why? Because categories is next.
Mark Grody at the top of the hour with everything you need to hear from the coordinators who got introduced today. But we will play the game.
We're going to play categories. Stick around. It's always fun. That's next on The Score.
So, I think it's time to play the game.
We're playing the game?
Well, yes. We're playing the game.
Do we have to play the game?
What's the game?
The game is called Categories. We play it on Thursdays.
Da, 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 da.
I'm hosting again because nobody's stepping up. It doesn't seem like people want to do the
All
rotational
right,
host thing.
Yeah, so here's the thing. It's
relax.
Your game. You host it.
Okay. Well, I'm not.
That right there, Shane.
Okay. All right. So game on. And two of the categories are sports related. Rather feisty around these parts. One is not sports related. They're all things that are applicable to things going on in the news. Mark Grody at the top of the hour. Here's first. I don't know if you guys know this, but one of the best players in team sports, we don't ever talk about. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had 52 points last night.
In a loss.
He's got 50 twice in the last four games.
I think 52, right?
What's that?
Your mic's off, Shane.
Oh, it's back on. It sounds like you are now.
Yeah.
It's a very small room.
I don't
Shane.
Know how this works.
That's better.
I don't know how the studio works, dude.
Well, yeah. The good news is it
I
looks like
said,
the regular.
Better start moving, Speaks. It's 47.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Game on. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander leads the NBA in scoring. He's number one. I am looking at every player in the NBA averaging 20 points or more right now. Who are the players in the NBA? NBA Hoops Junkie, Dr. NBA, Lawrence Holmes, who are averaging more than 20 points per game. Lawrence, you go first. Jalen Brunson is number 9 in scoring. Yes. Tanny.
Jokic.
Nikola Jokic, number 3. Shane.
Anthony Edwards.
Anthony Edwards, number 8. Lawrence.
Steph Curry.
Steph Curry. Number 26. Editor's note, these have to be players who've played enough to qualify, just to be clear. But yes, Steph Curry, number 26. Tanny.
Luka Doncic.
Luka Doncic has not played enough to qualify.
Oh, that's right. He's out on all the awards.
Yeah, he's out on everything.
Oh, damn. Oh, you're out of the game now.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Oh, Tanny, our mics are on.
Oh, no. Sorry.
Now Tanny gets to hang out and do something else, bastards. Shane?
Giannis.
Giannis Antetokounmpo is second in scoring behind SGA. Lawrence?
Zach LaVine.
Absolutely. Zach LaVine is 20th in scoring in the NBA. Shane.
DeMar DeRozan?
DeMar DeRozan, number 31. He is above 20 points per game. Yes, sir. Lawrence.
Jalen Green.
Jalen Green, number 32 of the Houston Rockets. Yes, above 20 points per game. Shane.
Devin Booker,
number 11. Lawrence.
Kevin Durant.
Number five.
What are you watching there, Tanny?
Sopranos.
Oh. Oh, yeah. The theme song for Sopranos is...
I love the respect for the game.
Sorry.
A lot of respect going on for the game. Shane.
Man, I might be out now.
Okay.
I'll take a knee now.
Yeah, take a knee. Lawrence, we get one more just to rub it in.
Trae Young?
Trae Young, absolutely, number 25. Could add LaMelo Ball, Tyrese Maxey, Jason Tatum, Anthony Davis, etc.
Tyrese Maxey.
But very nice. Good job, gentlemen. All right. It strikes me that with the coordinators getting named, we should talk about coordinators.
Okay.
For the Bears, since the year 2000, I'm looking at offensive and defensive coordinators for the Chicago Bears since the year 2000. Every single one. Tanny, you can go first.
I feel like we just did this one on one side of the ball for sure. Aaron Cromer?
Aaron Cromer is correct.
Shane Waldron.
Is correct. We might have just done this one.
Yeah, I did it the last time I hosted.
Yeah, okay. Well, now you can do defenses, too.
Bobby Babich
is correct as a defensive coordinator.
Mark Helfrich.
Mark Helfrich, yes, as an offensive coordinator.
Adam Gase.
Yes, as an offensive coordinator.
John Shoup.
John Shoup is a yes. Since the year 2000, Bears OCs and DCs.
Mike Tice.
Mike Tice is a yes.
Bill Lazor.
Bill Lazor is a yes. You're on fire.
You are on fire. All right, I'm out.
Really?
Yeah.
Taking a knee for the expediency of the game? Tanny.
Ron Rivera.
Ron Rivera is correct.
Ron Turner.
Ron Turner is correct. His second stint between 05 and 09. Tanny.
Forgive me if this one was mentioned. Shane's best friend in the world, Mike Martz.
Mike Martz has not been mentioned. Shane.
Was Aaron Cromer mentioned?
He was mentioned.
He was.
I get very emotional when I talk about
him. Defense too. Ron Rivera.
Ron Rivera has been mentioned as well.
Oh, good. 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 Why am I drawing a little bit of a blank here?
In 5, 4, 3... Thomas Brown
is technically an offensive coordinator. Yes. Tanny.
Shane Waldron.
Shane Waldron. Yeah. Oh, it's already been mentioned.
I did say it.
Then Terry Shea.
Terry Shea. Yes, sir. Well done.
Mel Tucker.
Absolutely. To the defensive side, where many remain available. Tanny.
Defense. Yeah, I'm out.
Defense. Yeah, Shane, you got one more for fun?
Someone who Tanny didn't want to say because he just loves him so much, he didn't want to put him out there again and re-put him in the news cycle, but Alan Williams.
Alan Williams, correct. Would have accepted Sean Desai, Chuck Pagano, Vic Fangio.
We should have went with that report that one day.
Yeah. Chuck Pagano back in the league.
That's right. Chuck Pagano. All right.
Pagano. Thanks to Charles Tillman, by the way, for coming on here yesterday. And he was supposed to go over to Hallis and tell everyone that they got fired.
Here we are, third category. In honor of Charles Peanut Tillman, I'm looking at the most consumed nuts in the entire world. Total worldwide nut consumption.
You're looking for the country?
I'm looking for the kind of nut.
Oh, okay.
In fact, I'll give it to you. Peanut is number one.
Isn't that a legume and not a nut?
It is listed as number one in terms of total worldwide nut consumption.
Okay.
Shane, speak to me of nut consumption.
Almond.
Number two in the world is almond. Lawrence.
Brazilian.
Brazil nut, number nine, all the way down to number nine.
Cashew
is number four. Chris Tannehill, if you don't stop naming nuts. Cashew is correct. Shane.
Pine.
Pine Nut, number 10.
Egregiously expensive, by the way.
I couldn't agree more.
Make your pesto with walnuts. Save yourself some trouble.
Thank you. That's an interesting nut to name. Lawrence?
Walnut.
Number 3.
Damn it.
You gave it away. Number 3. There are 4 more nuts on the list. Let's see if you guys can get them.
Cacahuate.
It is tanny.
Hazelnut.
Number 6 on the list.
Oh, fire.
There are 3 more nuts, and then I have a tiebreaker if need be.
Pistachio.
Is number 5 on the list. There are 2 more nuts.
D's. All right, I'm out.
Lawrence is out. Tanny, you got another nut?
The beet nuts.
Let's go. Let's go. Beet nuts forever.
No, I got nothing. I'm out.
You got nothing. Shane, you want one more, Mr. Cooking Guy?
Macadamia.
Macadamia, number 8.
Done, Shane.
We would have accepted pecan. Pecan as well.
Would we have accepted the right way to say it?
Pecan?
Yeah,
maybe. Okay. You know, you guys are all over me about categories today. Yeah. It's only because I chose a category we already did.
Yeah, I mean, it's not your first offense. I think it's your third.
All right. Well, I think it was fun.
I thought it was
Kim
fun.
Kim Fox
today.
Is America. You're out.
All right. Good. Well, there you are. Category Shane is the winner and a loser. Loser.
Mark Grody is in the hallway. Soon he'll be in that chair. Bears hit. 2 words next on the score.
We'll go next to Mark Grody from the score.